We'll wrap up our preview of the 2015 Dayton Hamvention in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. The world's largest ham radio gathering is less than 2 weeks away. This week we conclude an entertaining conversation with the 2015 Hamvention chair, Jim Teeterman, N8IDS, conducted by Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP.
I'm always pleased at how many people go to the Hamvention with the intention of taking their ham radio test, and how many people don't plan to, but do. Where is the testing going to be, and how does that need to be set up ahead of time?
Last year, we outgrew the rooms that were inside Hare Arena that had been used for many years for license exams. And Bayshore Grace United Church, which is just north on Bayshore Road, which is a road that borders the west side of the Hare complex, has very graciously stepped forward and let us use their modern and very comfortable facility. It is a church, and it has a very large sanctuary that the testing is done in. You have rooms off to the side that you can gather and wait for your test results. They have internet access to where Dan Puckett and Chris Jevons, who are the two people that are heading it up this year, are set up with their volunteers to be able to do an online registration for that, or you don't have to do that. You can just be a walk-in. The church is providing van service right at the bus tent at door 14. There will be signs to direct you to how to get to these vans, and they will be identified. They are 8 or 10 passenger vans. They will be running you up to Bayshore Church. You can go through your test section, and you can pick up those same shuttles and bring you right back to Hamvention. And they also, and I'll give them a plug, they are serving food up there as well as a sort of a little bit side money making for them. Everybody that did it last year was very satisfied with it, so people could go up there just to eat without even taking the test. But our old regular place was kind of a little bit of a cramped area, a little bit hot. Well, this is, as you can imagine, a nice area up there where they worship. It's their worship sanctuary, air conditioned, Wi-Fi available, very comfortable for decompress. And once you get that done, if you have just been licensed or upgraded to a different grade, you can go to our special event station, which is over by door one in the ball arena, and get on the air and use your new license, upgrade license. If you've brought your QSL card with you, tack it up on the outside of the special event station there. I'm involved in doing something a little bit different for the operation of the antennas outside on the regular antenna trailer that is donated by PNR Communications locally. So we're going to improve that just a little bit. So go take your test. You know you're going to be happy to get that testing results right there. Get your license, get a certificate, get a thank you certificate from us. It'll even have my signature on it, thanking you for coming to Hamvention and taking your test. Go on over and use that station and have a little bit of fun.
What will the testing fee be?
Free. We cannot charge for testing at Hamvention.
One of the issues that plagues the Hare Arena and the Hamvention in general every year is Wi-Fi and cellular. There just isn't enough cellular capacity. Is there anything being done to try to minimize that problem?
Yes, sir. Glad you asked that as well, because there have been improvements that have been tried in just this past year. There was an installation of a Motorola type system for Wi-Fi for inside exhibitors. There have been some improvements this year on the system itself, as I understand, because there was something that was modified inside since it was purchased. And we're trying to get it to where the bandwidth is wider. Now, the only thing, of course, that most people understand is the pipe coming in, the service coming in, is owned by Hare itself. If that pipe does not have the capacity to serve everybody that comes in there, because you can imagine at any one time, yes, our attendances are in the 20,000 plus or minus numbers. They're not all there at the same time. But imagine, if you will, just one building, and you have everybody coming in with their cell phone on, and they've got it on, and they all come up on what comes up to be channel 1 on the broadband portion of all this stuff for Wi-Fi. If we're going to use it that way, and their Wi-Fi is still on their phone, it is going to clog and shut things down to where the services are going to be trying to skip around to the different 11 channels available on that Wi-Fi. So if they were able to automatically shift up and down, some of the other services there on the Motorola system are going to attempt to maybe shift some of this over to where it could be used in other areas on NetApp to give people better service. There is an available service through HERA itself, sold at the HERA box office, to exhibitors inside to use this private Wi-Fi system that we own jointly with them to provide some of this service that they pay a fee for the weekend to try to get better service for them. But again, this pipe has to be able to serve them in the best way we can. There are no other services I know of outside of HERA, any other towers going up, any other services going up that have been in there in the past. I'm up there a lot, of course, at the office, and I don't have any trouble while I'm there. But again, I'm not there with huge crowds at the same time. So there is a little bit of work that would need to be done to understand what the pipeline would have to be. Is there a different service we need? Can we temporarily bring in something that would give this a little alleviation to that kind of stuff to services? That's not been looked into yet because they really don't know how to attack the problem. Even this day and age of what we do all the time, we seem to live on these phones. I myself are guilty of going on to a smartphone since I took over as chair, and I can't get along without it. So I'll probably suffer along with those that don't get the bandwidth we need that weekend, but we'll do the very best we can have.
One of the areas where Wi-Fi has worked better than in others has been traditionally the ARRL booth. What are they doing this year, the Hamvention?
They are coming in and doing their shtick, is I guess the best word to put it. They are coming in to do continuations of their celebration. They are going into their second century, as far as I know. Unfortunately, I have not had a lot of contact with their people when it comes to what else is going to be going on. So I would look forward to doing what they have done in the past, promoting amateur radio itself and, of course, AARL. Coming in to help us do what we need to do, help the all of our participants that come in, get them to join the league, that kind of thing. We're going to be going to some functions with them at a couple of different places. We're going to be making award presentations as far as scholarships are going, so that will be still being going on again. But again, what they do, that do so well, is to get in here and really populate. I do know they're bringing over 120 people here as volunteers to help. And these are people from outside the Dayton area. Some may be in close, but the tickets and everything going out to them, I've seen those numbers, and that's the number they're coming in with. So you've got to know what that amount of people coming in have. They're ready to go, and they're ready to do something for us.
In past years, we've had something like 500 exhibitors indoors and 1,000 or 2,000 out in the flea market. Is that about the same as it's going to be this year?
Yes, sir, it is. Brian Markland, the Inside Exhibits chair, has told me that they are close to the 500. He has shifted some of the booths around. And, of course, why do you say there are more than 500 booths in there? That is correct, but not everybody has just one booth. So when you do this, you have to take that as an individual person that has maybe two or three booths. So we are up into the 450-plus, according toward 500 Inside Exhibitors outside with Dave Trench and Stan Leeds out in the flea market. Those folks pared down some of this stuff to put extra aisles in, as people have seen, for courtesy aisles going up and down, making it easier to get between spots. We've pared these down to about 2,100 spaces, and he's up to the 89 to 92 percentile with 3 weeks to go.
For those who aren't going to the Hamvention this year, where can they experience the Hamvention on the internet?
Well, what you're going to have this year, as we did last year, one of our members, Jim Simpson, longtime member, and if you remember who he is, the guy that does all the prize drawings on Sundays, he and another person are going to be going out doing live streaming, and we're going to add the second camera this year on a dolly, and we're going to be going to various points, and mostly, of course, a lot, in which, like you do, into the forums, finding out what's going on to the forums, but just taking a walk around and letting people see what it is to experience Hamvention itself as best we can.
Now, you also have Tom Medley, Helmet Cam. He's going to be there.
Yes, sir. And I've done an interview with Mike Coulter with him. Next thing we'll get into is some of the award winners. This year, Tom is an award winner.
You're listening to the skinny behind this year's Dayton Hamvention, being voiced by its general chair, Jim Teterman, N8IDS. We'll conclude Half Poly KC9RP's conversation with Jim in a moment. This is the Rain Report, scheduled to hang out in booth 329 with the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter at the Hamvention coming May 15 through 17. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Ring Report from www.theringreport.com.
Let's talk about the award winners. Who are they?
Tim Duffy.
K3LR.
Amateur of the Year. And along with that, there is a gentleman from Northern Ohio that came forward that has possession of the very first Amateur of the Year award that was awarded in 1955. That award looks more like a trophy that you would have normally seen on a football trophy case in a high school. We've seen pictures. It's on the web. So what we've done is ask that person to bring that down here, and he is going to do that. And when he brings that, we're going to have the awards side by side at the awards dinner on Saturday night, and it's for a select group of people that are invited. What we're going to do is have the new award and the old award right there with Tim. Special Achievement Award for Thomas C. Medlin, W5KUB.
Tom Medlin, for the uninitiated, has helmet cam, where
yes,
he actually literally has a little camera on his helmet. And you can actually watch his drive from Tennessee to the Hamvention, then all weekend at the Hamvention, and then driving back again.
And if anybody's familiar with what Tom does, he gets on there and puts on one whale of a show. He really does. And he keeps on improving it. So now that he has a webcast and goes on Tuesday nights, he does it almost weekly. So he is doing things, and at least semi-monthly doing that. Great service to the amateur world and all that kind of stuff, and brings a lot of fun to people. Technical excellence, Reverend George Dobbs, G3RJV. He has helped amateur radio operators build their own equipment. Currently, he writes a monthly practical construction column, Continuing the Practical Way. So he'll be coming to get his award, along with the Amateur Club of the Year, and Orlando Amateur Radio Club was picked this year for all of their activities down there. So you have the four award winners that will be there on Saturday night to get those. And then again on Sunday, during the prize drawings, we bring those same folks back and introduce them to the audiences that are there on Sunday for the prize drawing.
What is it going to cost to get into the Hamvention for all 3 days or just one day?
Let's go into the 3 day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Your pre-show prices will be $20 for your admission ticket, $8 for the bus tickets if you're going to use transportation on the RTA line. Now, you get to the door and you get there on Friday. That's going to be a $25 ticket. The $8 bus ticket will still remain for that. The bus tickets, of course, $8 for the 3 days, but if you get here on the later days, they drop down to $4. I believe it is. It's $4 or $5 for that one day. And if you are parking up at the KOA campground, they have their own ticket and their own transportation up there.
So it would be $20 for the 3 days.
Yes.
You get your ticket ahead of time. If you wait until Friday morning, it's $25 for 3 days. But what if I'm just there on Saturday? What will that cost me?
$25. The $20 ticket you get, if you get it before Friday, that's good for all 3 days. That ticket, when you get it in your hand, it's good for all 3 days. If you get there on Friday and you pay $25 for that ticket, it is good for all 3 days. I don't have separate prices per day. They are all good for the 3 day weekend.
So if you're only going to be there Saturday, you still have to buy the 3 day ticket.
Yes. If you know you're going to be there Saturday and you'll get the ticket either in the mail or get to one of the outlets that is selling it up through May 12th, you can then still buy that ticket for $20. Now, if you get there on Friday and only going to be there on Saturday and you pre-buy the ticket, it's still going to be that $25 box office ticket. It's been that way for years and we haven't changed it. I would encourage everybody to buy it as early as possible. And if you have multiple tickets to buy, to make sure that you have them at the $20 price. In fact, the price of tickets itself has not changed since I can remember going to Hamvention since the late 80s.
The deadline for ordering tickets via mail is May 12th?
Tickets online are ordered open until May 12th, 2015, and that is through Mr. Mark Maddox, who is the head of advanced registration for mail-in ticketing.
So what would I look for on the website to buy my ticket?
Okay. You're at hamvention.org. Up on the banner, you go to tickets. You click on tickets. When that comes up, it says tickets online on the left. There is a blue box, ticket online order. And you hit that box and you're into it and you go. And let's mention student tickets while I'm at it. I'm reading it right here, Hap. If you have students that would like to accompany adults, children under 12 are in free as long as they're accompanied by an adult. And if you're 12 up through 18, you can get a free student ticket that's available at the will call office in Harris Lobby. more than likely you'd probably be going in with, say, your mother or father or brother or uncle, aunt, whoever else is bringing you there, but you can get a free ticket. And they have their own drawing. There's a separate ticket drum for the student tickets. They have their own drawing separate from the major prize drawings as well. So they have a chance all their own to get different student prizes. Some of those same prizes that you see that are put on as hourly prizes and that kind of stuff, geared towards students.
A few months ago, an article circulated around the internet regarding the Hera Arena. And I never realized that the Hera Arena is 160,000 square feet, which is mind-boggling when you think how large it is and why it would be so hard to move the Hamvention if something ever happens to Hera. What is the latest on Hera, and what does the future look like for it?
Very good question. Thank you very much for asking, because we can bolster what we've been talking about in the past half. And this article that you're talking about was both in newspaper and in local television here, and possibly carried on television in other states. But it came out that Hera was going to be cutting down their staff, which they were, and they usually do this seasonally. We had a conversation with the Wamplers. Karen Wampler herself explained to us what was going on. A lot of people don't realize is that there has been ongoing communications with a group that is going to come in as a venture capital and a management group, have been working with the Wamplers up there for the past 2 or 3 years to get this going and get improvements going. Now, they're not going to be immediate. So what we've tried to do here locally, Hap, is to make sure that we have as up-to-date communication with them as we can as to what's going on, what is the future with it, because it's a very viable question. And you know yourself, every year, it's the last year for Hamvention. It comes up on the airways every year. First of all, we have got the assurance of the Wamplers. Hamvention will be here for the foreseeable future. Well, what is the foreseeable future? What kind of date can you put on it? I'm not a person that can tell all of the future, but what I'm seeing so far, I'm not worried about my tenure, which is this year and next. In fact, I will go out on a limb and say into my successor, Ron Kramer's, from 17 to 18, because we have got that much confidence in what's going to go on with this group working with the Wamplers to improve what we all know is an aging facility that does need help in many, many areas. But the other thing we like to also tell you, and I think you'll find out for yourself, and you know, Hap, that this is a nostalgia type thing. If you don't go to it and you don't really have the familiar sounds and the smells and the same experience and the same sights and all that stuff, it just isn't Hamvention at all. You brought up the amount of space that we have. Yes, sir, that's under roof. Well, let's take an account not only under roof. What do we have outside? Just for the vendor parking out front? For the flea market out back? The surrounding roads and what have you, we're talking 11.8 acres of land with that 140,000 to 160,000 square feet under roof to maintain. That's a very large physical plant. There's a lot of work and a lot of upkeep on there. And as things are going on, the improvements will start, and they will be the first things I think people will notice. The first question everybody has, Hap, is, what about the restrooms? That might be the very first thing I think they would go after, that and some of the roadways and things, because they certainly don't want to have any damage or injuries to anybody out there. That is the furthest thing we want to have happen out there. That's why we hired, again, Trotwood Fire Department, EMS, and Police Department, and other security people that we do hire out, along with the area itself, for the facility. So all of our volunteers and all of our paid people that we do have out there are trying to do our very best to keep things as safe as we possibly can for all comers.
And that's our 2015 Dayton Hamvention preview. We featured this year's General Chair, Jim Teterman, N8IDS. Just a reminder that Rain and the Gateway 160 Meter Radio Newsletter will be holding forth at the Hamvention in Booth 329 in the Hera Arena. If you're going to make the trek for the May 15 through 17 show of shows, and you have a VHF ham rig in the car, we suggest you monitor 146.52 simplex. The closer you get to Dayton, the more fun you'll find on that national calling frequency. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Rain Report. Available on demand on therainreport.com and via Twitter at #TheRainReport.